In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If nothing else, the Promise Keepers movement has pointed out that family values are the topic of the 90s. For political differences aside, most everyone agrees that a breakdown of the family has been the self-perpetuating cause and effect of numerous other problems in our society. The reality of divorce, of spouse and child abuse, of deadbeat dads and teenage moms, just to name a few examples. One does not have to be a Christian to acknowledge the tragic shame in all of this, nor does one need a Promise Keepers movement to realize that great benefits are gained when husbands and wives, moms and dads, stick it out and make things work. Hence an emphasis on family values, with no lack of advice from virtually every quarter. Today, however, we are given the privilege of hearing the Creator's family values. And in this way, there is nothing left to chance. Nothing that is subject to the sinful rationalizations of our limited human perspective. We hear what it means to be husband and wife from the lips of Christ Himself, who instructs us in our hearts and minds with the words of God, taking us back to the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth. The woman, who was taken from the man in her creation, should be reunited with the man as one flesh in a relationship of mutual love and self-surrender, the wedding of their hearts and minds and bodies in a lifelong commitment to walk through life together, thus reflecting the loving unity of God Himself, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But if we should stop there with what it means and what it takes to be a godly man and a godly woman in our lives and in our marriages, then we would have only heard half the story. And what is worse, we would all have to admit that we have each fallen far short of God's expectations and the purposes for which we were created. Thus, we must enter the house with our fellow disciples and learn from Christ Jesus what was and is God's original intention from the very foundation of the world. But you see, our gospel this morning is far more than just a word about divorce. And we would surely miss the point altogether were we to hear it simply as a condemnation of this one sin. Our Lord would have us understand, first of all, that divorce is one consequence of a far deeper problem, the sinful hardness of our hearts, all of our hearts. And He would have us understand as well that even the lust in those hearts, in our eyes and in our minds, is already adultery long before it ever gets into our flesh. There isn't one of us here this morning who has not committed adultery and broken the sixth commandment of our Lord by these standards that He sets before us, for which we all deserve His temporal and eternal punishment. Because the bottom line is this, that the hardness of our hearts and all of those various forms of adultery reflect our ultimate unfaithfulness toward God. That is to say, the idolatry of fear, love, and trust in ourselves, in other people, and in created things, instead of our holy triune God. The word of Jesus in our gospel certainly does apply to human marriages, and by all means we must take it seriously in that respect. But He points us forward to this far more serious matter of our relationship, our marriage with the Lord. for he is our heavenly bridegroom, and we are altogether his unfaithful spouse. It is precisely in this respect that the question of the Pharisees is a testing, or to say it better, a temptation for the Lord Jesus. According to the letter of the law, by all rights, he could have, perhaps even should have, divorced his adulterous people and sent them all away, including you and me. We must understand, therefore, that those who defend the legitimacy of divorce for whatever reason are really underscoring the legitimate right that God would have to divorce us all and to cast us away from his presence. For whatever wrongs and whatever unfaithfulness our human spouse might commit, it remains the case that each of us, poor, miserable sinners, has been even more guilty of the same in our broken relationship with the Lord. And whether the Pharisees understood this or not, the real meaning of their question is this: is it lawful for you, O Lord, to divorce your people and send them away? The frightening answer is yes. By any standard, it is lawful. Like the other temptations of Satan, the Pharisees present Jesus with the option of walking away. Walking away from the heavy burden of responsibility for this sinful and rebellious people. Walking away from his cross and passion. But he will not walk away, because he didn't come to file for divorce. He came instead to give his life for us, to shed his blood and die for us, that he might cleanse us by the washing of the water with his word, and thus present us to himself as a glorious bride, as a beautiful heavenly bride, dressed in the beautiful white wedding gown of his own perfect righteousness, without any spot or wrinkle or blemish of any kind. That is what God intended from the beginning of creation. The one true godly man is Christ himself, the perfect Son who is the holy image of the Father from all eternity. He alone has fulfilled all of God's purposes for man in the flesh of our flesh, in the bone of our bone. In him we see what it means to be a man, what it means to be a husband. For this true man has reconciled us to himself, and he has graciously taken us back to be his holy bride, all of us together as his church, so that we now also find the one true godly woman in that washing of the water and the word. In her, by the grace and forgiveness of Christ, we see what it means to be a woman, to be a wife. And on account of Christ, for those who have been divorced, for those who have been betrayed, as well as for those who have been unfaithful, for all of us who have committed adultery in our hearts against the Lord and against one another, the Lord does not condone any of these sins, but he does forgive them. Even though we have been unfaithful toward him, he remains faithful toward us. And even in spite of our sinfulness, those who are born as the children of Christ and his church have been recreated in his image and united to him in the holy matrimony of faith, consummated here at this altar, that we might live in him and he in us as the godly men and women that he created us to be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.